I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Run like a wild man.
I want you to struggle and I want you to wrestle with them angels.
There he is. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct turn here. Stadium time is 8:39 p.m. Central Daylight Standard Time. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. Your digital audio device must be tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. I'm Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me, rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett.
Go Magic.
To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, a man who drives a Land Cruiser, a man who didn't hit a cyclist on the way to work today, a man who has a pond in his house.
Backyard.
In his backyard, at AU Chief.
Buongiorno.
We get it. You have a backyard. Greetings. Greetings, Orange and Truthers.
I have a patio. I do have a backyard. It's really a pain to mow.
On today's
to
show.
Mow the pond?
No, not the.
That's why I put the pond in.
I have a pond sitting on the patio. It's just a pond insert that you buy for $30 at Home Depot. And it's
sounds fancy.
No. Sounds like he walks around with a smoking jacket on.
No, my backyard is just big enough that it's a real pain to mow with a push mower.
Right.
But not worth buying the riding mower.
Ooh. Yeah, probably more than one battery on the electric mower. I have an electric mower and it's just, it's like we can't ever get the yard mowed on two batteries.
My friend had bought an electric mower a few years back and he had that same problem, so I just decided not to go with it. Now, the people right behind me, their yard is small enough, they just mow it.
It's a great
quiet
thing.
It's like,
yeah, you can literally put your headphones
I'm
in.
I'm like, what are they doing back there?
On normal volume.
Listen to us.
I look back there and I'm like, what are they doing back there? I'm like, oh, they're mowing.
And it's wide
they're
enough
just walking
that, like,
back and forth.
My wife can carry it up and down the stairs and do it herself. And like, yeah, it's really great, except you can't mow a full yard.
Yeah, my mom really wanted to buy one for her yard because my mom...
Don't get the Black & Decker one.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst one, I hear.
Because the problem is the batteries cost... You wanted to buy more batteries. Like, if we had four batteries...
The price of the mower.
The price of the mower.
Yeah.
Because really, you're just buying a battery.
So what you're doing, you got to buy all the tools that use the same battery, though. You got to buy the leaf
They
mower.
Don't make anything else that uses that battery.
Kind of Black & Decker doesn't?
Yeah.
The mower, they don't. I have all the other tools that use it.
You go with
20 volt. This is probably
40.
40
volt.
Yeah.
You go with the Home Depot
Ryobi
brand.
Yeah.
The leaf blower, you get the lawnmower, you get a couple tools.
Even then, I don't know if the lawnmower works with the same battery.
This podcast not brought to you by Black & Decker yet. Sonic Tools didn't make one. Otherwise, we would have gotten that back when they were sponsoring the show. That voice you heard there for a second is Drew McCracken, baseball's own Drew McCracken. And he's here to talk to us a little bit about the end of the Auburn College baseball season. That's what we're going to do in today's show. We're going to end baseball. We're going to talk a little bit about basketball. We're going to move on a little bit into a game. The game I didn't tell you guys about.
Another game?
And then we'll see what else we have time for. But first, baseball. McCracken, tell us what happened. What's McCracken?
Well, how's it going, guys, first and foremost?
Not too bad.
Very good.
Very good on the loveliest village. So, sadly, the Tigers went 2-2 Q in Omaha, as was to be expected for the most part. But even that said, as a lot of people have come up to me throughout this week, it's more the reward for this team to get to Omaha and get the recognition that they deserve, plus the recognition that the staff deserves on what they've been able to build in just three or four short seasons.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And to get that spotlight, and also to get the experience of Omaha, get the taste of it back in the fans and in their mouth as well, that this is a thing that can happen for Auburn baseball, even with all the limitations that teams in the state of Alabama have to face. You know, it's not just Auburn that has the no lottery, the scholarship, you know, the scholarship stipends that you see ESPN talking about with Michigan right now as they lead Vanderbilt. Auburn doesn't have any of these breaks. They've got 11.7, and that's a strong number. So it's a great reward for this staff and this team and this program to get to Omaha this year.
Yeah, talk about the 11.7, because we heard a little bit, like, what was his name from Mississippi State kind of had a press conference that went viral where he kind of said, look, we need a third assistant coach, and 11.7 scholarships is a joke.
Jake Mangum was the young man, and he's absolutely right.
From Ryan Sterrett's own Mississippi State Bulldogs, that's right.
Klanga.
This is correct. This is correct. Klanga. So he's absolutely right. Earlier this season, there was a vote that went up. There are only two paid assistants in college baseball right now across the country in Division I baseball. There was a vote put up among the conferences and teams to add a third paid assistant. For Auburn, it would be Steve Smith, who is a volunteer assistant right now.
Good Lord, I did not know that.
That is absurd.
Steve Smith, who is the winningest coach in Baylor baseball history, who took a team to the College World Series. Yeah, he's a volunteer.
That's absurd.
And you can look across the country. Ron Polk is a volunteer assistant for UAB.
Former Saban intern program.
Yeah. Right. Former Alabama coach Mitch Gaspard is a volunteer assistant at Georgia right now. You'll see a lot of these former coaches that are okay financially, not anywhere near, you know, Nick Saban or anything like that, but can make it work. And help run the camps.
Is he one of those assistants?
Yeah, I haven't. Well, wait a minute. I think he's a high school coach.
Picking up softball duties.
So he's getting paid.
If you were to sum up this Auburn baseball run, you know, with a couple of words. But first, I want to say, like, if you could sum up this run with, you know, did you expect it? What does it mean for this team in terms of recruiting, maybe? And what do you think the projection is for next year?
So that's a very loaded question. But,
sure, because it's three questions. And
I'm not very good at it. But I'll take it. The first one that I'll go with is grit. I think that this Auburn baseball season showed the absolute grit of this program and the and what Coach Thompson is trying to infuse in his short time here so far, and what's going to continue to go as the build out continues. This was a team that never gave up, that only a handful of weekends had two star pitchers.
Yeah.
I would say they're two aces, except nobody expected Jack Owen to be that guy. Everybody expected it to be Tanner Burns and Davis Daniel. Davis Daniel throws three innings on the season. Auburn makes it to Omaha.
Right.
Jack Owen misses five or six SEC series. Auburn goes to Omaha. Tanner Burns goes down and is out from basically right after the Vanderbilt series for the rest of the season. He was never really the same. Auburn makes it to Omaha. This was a team that struggled from basically Saturday at Mississippi State, game two at Mississippi State, until the NCAA tournament started. I don't have the number in front of me. They were 20-2 that Friday night as I left Duty Noble Field on the in game one. And from there, I think they went like 13-23 or 25 to close out the season. Auburn still makes it comfortably in the NCAA tournament, makes it to Omaha. So you saw a team that fought through injuries. They fought through adversity. They fought through slumps and whatever anybody would throw at them. And, you know, not to mention all the outside stuff from the community that happened during that time, whether it was, you know, tornadoes or police officers falling in the line of duty or losing their voice of 25 plus years. All of that was absorbed and played out through the field. So I think his absolute grit is what Auburn baseball showed this season, and that they really won't stop fighting until the last out is made.
I think the interesting thing about Auburn baseball is I'm not a baseball itself is very much a mathematical driven sport. It was the first sport to really embrace analytics. It was the first sport to really like kind of do the things based on what the math said to do. That said, like my left brain doesn't believe in momentum. My left brain doesn't believe that there's any right way that losing Rod or being counted out or any of that stuff had anything to do with this to run. My right brain 100% says that the Auburn family, Auburn fan base, willed this team to victory and that Rod was somehow a part of that.
Mm-hmm. No, baseball is a very weird sport. It's a sport that resents change but embraces it. It's one of the first sports, even though it has a very, very troubled past. It's one of the first sports that embraced a culture change and tried to bridge racial gaps, even though you look back and it's got some pretty nasty pitfalls there.
Right.
And as far as rules go, changing itself, reinventing itself to try to make it for different generations. It's a game that's been around since the 1860s, 50s, if you really want to go back far enough. But baseball will make you believe in things that you normally don't believe in. Not to bring up bad memories, but you saw it in the Auburn Mississippi State game. You had a team that said, "We've got to do it right now," and I truly believe Auburn got a little nervous about trying to get those last outs 25, 26, and 27, and thought about it too much. Yeah. But even that, Auburn still got it to that point. They know that they can beat Mississippi State. They know that if they had a couple of more swings and are able to make a one fielding play, they probably get past Louisville as well. If it weren't for a bobbled ball at second. I totally understand what you're saying, that momentum isn't really a thing, but momentum is a real thing.
Right. For sure. I think the same thing about kind of every sport, basketball as well. Like the thing about baseball, I dog on baseball, I rag on baseball all the time for having so many games. But there's so many games, yet every game you have a chance of seeing something that you've never seen before and that nobody has ever seen before. And that Auburn Mississippi State game had an ending that literally had me going, have I ever seen anything like that before in my life? And then you saw Louisville's pitcher just dog cussing Vanderbilt. There's been some moments, some real moments, and I'm happy Auburn got to be a part of some of those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you talk about, I brought up the bad, but let's bring up the good. When's the next time you're going to see a team take a 13-0 lead into the bottom of the first inning?
Right. Exactly.
That was awesome.
That's never, ever going to happen again. And back-to-back games, much like the 2013 team, pretty much back-to-back games, amazing things happened. And I'm not lost. That's not lost on me at all. I think that this season was a huge for the baseball team. I know it's bittersweet because it's more of a, man, if we would have had this, because Auburn went 5-3 in the NCAA tournament, but man, those five, those games went 5-1 going into the College World Series and could have won those two.
Yeah.
But man, if they had that kind of offensive output, if they had that kind of pitching, throughout the entire season, you know, it makes one wonder what would have really happened going forward.
So real quick, let's do, what do you think about next season? Do we think this team has a chance to go back, or do we think this is maybe a flash in the pan?
Auburn, and this is so weird because I've followed Auburn since I figured out that Auburn wasn't just a football team, right. That it was an actual school and that it actually had different sports. So I can honestly say I haven't felt this good about an Auburn baseball team since 1998, after the 97 season going into the 98 season. Auburn will return everyday players in their lineup, including their DH and Connor Davis. The only person Auburn will lose that people are used to seeing every day is Will Holland. And as far as the pitching staff goes, Auburn's only losing two. Blake Shalacy, who graduated, was one of Auburn's two seniors. Brett Olson was the other. And Elliot Anderson, who was the first one out of the pen for the Tigers, has already signed with the Kansas City Royals. So you just look at those two numbers, you know, Auburn's losing their probably one of the best defensive shortstops they've ever seen. But that's before you realize, well, Ryan Bliss was the number two overall shortstop in the state of Georgia 2 years ago. And will make an easy transition over to second base, or from second base over to shortstop. Okay, well, that leaves the question of who's going to play second. What you may not know is Edouard Julien is a natural second baseman. That was his position coming out of high school or academy or whatever you want to call it up in Canada. And he announced today that he's coming back for the 2020 season. So move Edouard from third base over to second base. Okay, well, that leaves third base open. Well, Rankin Woley played third base at LSU and last year in junior college, or 2 years ago in junior college. Move him over from third base. All right. Well, what about first base now? Connor Davis is a natural first baseman as well. So the Tigers their infield will look very familiar, although everybody will be in a new position more than likely. This is me projecting. The outfield will be the exact same. You'll see the arm that Judd Ward has all next season. Kaysen Howell will still be running around catching fly balls. Steven Williams will still be hitting home runs and doing what he does. The real good thing for Auburn going forward from here is that the Tigers are getting a huge signing in Nate LaRue, who's going to platoon, at least in my opinion, with Matt Scheffler behind the plate. So Scheffler was able to do, I think, all but about three or four games.
Yeah, that was wild.
With Chase Hall. And you're talking about 66 games, 68 games. And all he missed was about three or four or five. So you're going to see that along with Chase Hall as long as he remains on the team. I know a lot of guys are kind of thinking about their future with so many players returning. So there will be some transfers. I think I know of about three or four that I've heard are in the portal already. Everett Lau is one of the ones that I've heard is really contemplating his future along with Kyle Gray. As far as in the field, the Tigers are set up. The real fun part is going to be the rotation. Tanner Burns will be your Friday night guy, as he has been since basically the beginning of this season. Jack Owen also announced that he was returning today as well, along with Edouard. So he'll be your Saturday guy. And then Sunday will just be who's got the hottest arm. You'll have Richard Fitz going for that line. You'll have Bailey Horn, who really turned it on at the end of this season. Looked great in Atlanta against Georgia Tech. Had moments in the NCAA tournament in the College World Series against Louisville. I think he was just starting to run out of steam as things went on, but he'll be a redshirt junior this year. But then you also start to throw in some of those other guys. Hayden Mullins is going to be a signee out of my neck of the woods up here in up in Hendersonville, Tennessee. He was going to be an MLB draft prospect, but took the advice of Tanner Burns and Garrett Wade and said, "No, I really want to work on getting my arm ready for the next level." So he's going to be at Auburn for three more seasons. It's the most talented I've seen Auburn and the deepest I've seen Auburn in 20 years. As far as a team goes, this is the team that I was kind of pointing to even after last season, just with all the returning players that could have come back. Really and truly, the major league draft couldn't have gone much better for Auburn, unless you really thought that Gunnar Henderson was going to going to spurn the major leagues in $2.5 million. But it looks like he's made the decision to go there.
That's a smart decision. Nobody should turn down $2.5 million.
I don't think anybody should. If you do, you have a lot of faith.
There's a long Auburn's list of things that I would do for $2.5 million.
and Auburn baseball is up there. I don't know at the $2.5 million level,
right,
though. I could say no. So yeah. To be completely honest, Auburn's in the best scenario they could be in. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season, only two guys are going to go pro and one's a pitcher and the other one's Will Holland, because right, I think we all knew he was going to be gone at the end of the right season, I would have taken that deal in a heartbeat.
What a player.
As long as it wasn't, you know, somehow Tanner Burns or something like that. But no, Auburn is set up. The question's going to be, can they break out of that offensive slump and can the pitchers stay healthy? As long as Auburn can avoid the pitfalls that got them this season, Auburn's going to be fine. And they could the question will be, can Auburn host, and can Auburn host a super regional?
Wow.
to try to get back to Omaha?
Well, that's great. Drew, a lot of great info, a lot of hope left in the program. Always a pleasure having you on. We're going to have you on again next year to preview the baseball season. And who knows what else?
Yeah, I'd be happy. I don't know if you guys know this, but I've got a very, very popular thread in the fall, and I'd be happy to come on and share some of my wisdom with how we look outside of just Auburn football to engulf a Saturday.
That's so good. Yeah, for sure. All right.
All right.
Thanks for talking.
You guys have a good one.
And we're going to pause real quick to take a little break. Jack?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
And we're back. That was a great ad, probably for a podcast. It sounds so much better than this one from an audio standpoint. Or the full cast. But next, let's talk a little basketball. We're watching the NBA awards on TNT on the TV right now because I can't be bothered to watch anything else or look for anything else.
Is there anything else on?
There's probably the Braves are losing, so
there's probably baseball and soccer.
Five straight earlier.
Ooh, wow.
Is Gold Cup? Are there any matches right now?
I watched Chile v. Uruguay earlier.
I watched something earlier, too. I can't remember who it was playing.
Shaq is standing next to 2 Chainz. Speaking of two basketball players, Alabama State's own 2 Chainz.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know that? Played basketball at Alabama State?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, now you do. Guys, Auburn had a player drafted the 16th pick in the NBA draft to former Shaq's former team, the Orlando Magic.
That's pretty crazy and pretty awesome.
It's pretty incredible. Like every single pre-draft thing that I looked at, and I looked at them back.
Looking like he might slip into the second round.
We've been looking at NBA mock drafts for at least 3 months, probably.
Yeah, first, let's get this out of the way. I believe ever since I've been on this podcast, I know we talked about Jim Okeke as the NBA player.
The best NBA player. On this
team. Yeah. And I feel like we were justified.
We were justified. And I think
Vindicated.
We were saying that back in the Maui Invitational.
Yeah. But before that.
But we saw a guy get picked well over where I thought he was going to go.
Yeah.
Maybe a reach by the Magic, but they acted like not only did they want Chuma, they wanted Chuma there, and that they had him there.
This is their plan.
From the get-go.
Yeah, they were looking to trade back and pick him in the mid-20s or into the first round.
They wanted Chuma.
They wanted him there.
They want to pay him. They want him. I mean, yeah,
this was their guy.
They made a couple of statements after the draft. I don't know if you guys watched the introductory press conference.
I didn't know that was.
It's on OrlandoMagic.com.
Okay.
The
GM, I noticed he wasn't there.
Right? He was there.
He was. Okay.
Oh yeah. You just see Chuma hold a jersey up. It's a good time.
Chuma 033.
You get to see
Chuma. Oh, I was talking about at the draft.
No, he was
in the draft. This is the next. This was like I think 2 days ago.
Okay.
So Chuma is standing. The GM of the Magic comes out first and kind of talks about, hey, this is why we got this guy. And mainly it was because we need team players on our team. Mm-hmm. We need guys who defend. We need guys who play multiple positions. All of the reasons they like Chuma. But then it talks about how, like, they were, like, following Chuma for months.
Oh,
like, dude. They were, like.
So they were already on him before Chuma, the tournament.
Yeah, for a long time.
Okay.
And so.
Maybe they listened to the pod
season. It would not shock me if the GM of the Orlando Magic is one of the, you know, dozens of people who listen to this podcast. He's a huge Origin Truther.
One of the 69 listeners we had this week.
Nice.
Well, we have more than that, but that was at the moment I checked.
Right, 69. Right.
Yeah. I think
for our podcast that most of you are listening to probably the day we're recording this week's podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It hadn't hit iTunes yet, I believe is how.
Which you guys might realize we've changed over into a new format with Vox and SB Nation. Now we're going to have
We're a partner podcast.
Yeah. And so hopefully that brings us more listeners and so hopefully it makes our podcast better because we're going to be able to get some equipment and stuff around here.
Do we have to cut a promo at any point?
I hope so. I'll cut it just like Ric Flair.
Woo!
Whose stepson just going to Auburn
University. Let's talk about that later. Yeah. That's tease for a later segment.
Chuma Okeke. We all knew he was going to get drafted.
Right.
Last week I said we're going to have one, maybe two, maybe three guys drafted. But definitely one, and we definitely had one.
Our question was whether or not he was going to be a first-round pick.
Right.
And not only, he was just out of the lottery.
He was almost a lottery.
Right. If he had not gotten hurt, he would have been a lottery
pick. Well, if he had not gotten hurt,
if Orlando had the 15th pick, they would have taken him.
If he had not gotten hurt, he's a national champion and probably a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Oh, I think without a doubt.
Yeah.
But I think if the Magic had the 15th
pick, they just
took him.
I think you're right. So he's going to make $2.5 million
a lot of money.
Next year.
A lot of money.
To sit in Orlando at Disney World.
And it goes up every year.
It goes up every year in the NBA.
It's a 3-5?
It's a 3 with an option for 4, I believe. Unless it's a 4 with an option for 5. The question I have is, does Chuma get a pass to Disney World written into his contract?
I would.
That's where he's rehabbing.
But he's a Florida resident anyway, so it's pretty cheap for him to get a...
That's right. No, he's from Orlando. He's from Atlanta.
He will be a Florida
resident. Oh, right. He'll be an Orlando resident.
Yeah, what's the deal with like living in Orlando saves you a ton of money on taxes or something?
For Disney World?
No, there's no income tax or something in Florida.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It's no state income tax.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
No state income.
So that's one of those where like, he's getting most of that $2.5 million.
Yeah, Florida, Texas, Tennessee.
U.S. government's still going to take a hefty
amount. And any state that he plays in that's not Florida will take money from him.
Right. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So if you play...
Because they get game checks. They don't get...
Oh, yeah, it stinks. Wow. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You play in the NFC East, or the AFC East, for instance, you're paying New York income tax.
Massachusetts
income tax. Florida doesn't have it, but you're paying those other two. And it kills you.
Man.
Yeah. So, and like, yeah.
That is the dumbest
thing. That's why guys go broke. There's a documentary called Broke on ESPN that goes into this really well about how these guys don't realize that they're going to be paying like 70% of their income in taxes to various states and governments.
Well, California is the absolute worst.
You go play in Toronto, guess what happens?
Oh, yeah, that's probably pretty. That's probably actually the absolute worst. Right. That's literally probably about 70%.
Because you're playing in Toronto, and then you have to go pay state income taxes for those states. Yeah.
Man.
It's a bad time. I mean, you're still taking home a ton of cash. And Chuma's going to be set for life.
Yeah, you need a good financial advisor. I think the real thing is these guys don't listen to their financial advisors, or they have bad.
Or, yeah. They don't listen to this podcast.
Their cousin is their financial advisor.
Right. What I want to talk about more, though, is that we kind of talked about this before the pod, about the situation that Bryce and Jared are in.
Yeah.
So Bryce and Jared are both undrafted free agents, have signed with teams, Bryce to the Kings, and which is a great organization for him. The Kings are not the...
Not a great organization.
Well, not the dumpster fire they were. They figured, they kind of, the Kings have, a buddy of mine says the Kings have, in spite of themselves, become a really good organization.
It's the capital of California.
It is the capital of California. Good job, Chief. The Kings have made some terrible moves that they've lucked out and they've worked out. So, like...
They got rid of Boogie.
They got rid of Boogie.
Which seems like a bad idea.
The guy they got, Boogie... They got four Boogie and ended up being okay, Buddy Hield, three-point shooter. The Aaron Fox is super good.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of nobody saw that coming. He was nominated for Most Improved Player tonight. You see a team that needs a scorer from the three-point from the wing, and that's exactly what Bryce is able to do. Now, will Bryce be a starter in this league this next year? Go ahead on record and say
probably
there's no chance.
Probably not.
But he's going to have a chance. He's got a chance to make a team, which I think part of the beauty of being an undrafted free agent is the Kings probably weren't the only team that called him. And so he was able to kind of say, okay, well, this is probably where I have the best shot. Same with Jared. Jared's going to a team that doesn't have a point guard on the roster. They drafted
have they had a point guard since Steve Nash was there?
Yeah, they've had a couple. I believe they drafted the guy from Virginia.
Is Dan Majerle still there?
No, he's not. He's actually, I think, in the organization now.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right about that, actually.
They drafted the guy from Virginia. Actually, both the Kings and the...
Kevin Johnson's the mayor of Memphis.
He is.
Right?
No, he's Memphis? The mayor of Sacramento.
Sacramento. You're right.
Both those guys...
Penny Hardaway is the mayor of Memphis.
Penny Hardaway is the de facto mayor of Memphis.
Anyway, go ahead.
Those guys, Jared and Bryce, go to teams with players from Virginia to be their teammates in the summer league. The Suns signed 5 point guards in this draft.
That is absurd.
They don't have one. So they're like, look, we're going to get some guys in, and we're going to figure out who's a good point guard.
Is Jared the best point guard they...
Well, one of them they drafted.
And is he better than that guy?
Yeah, second round. They think that he's the guy. But Jared legitimately has a chance to become a bench role player in the NBA next year. That's pretty cool. Guard for the Phoenix Suns. Because they're gonna give the guy they drafted a shot.
Probably stink, right?
They're going to probably stink.
They got
DeAndre Ayton, they got Devin Booker, and they traded for somebody.
Do they still run that just absolute, that's no good.
Now, kind of everybody in the league runs that.
Well, that's true.
But that guy, Mike D'Antoni, now is the coach of the Houston Rockets.
That's right.
Who I kind of wanted Bryce Brown to go to, considering they're like obsessed with three-point shooting, and he is also.
Yeah, but they don't need the defense. They got James Harden.
It's true. They got James Harden. They don't care about defense whatsoever.
Oh, I was going to say that he's the best defensive player in the league.
Right.
No, he's the worst.
So the good news with Jared and Bryce being undrafted free agents, I mean, they're definitely going to be playing summer league.
They're playing summer league.
They're going to be on ESPN, on your TVs.
They're going to be on ESPN 2 times.
Plus, right?
No, ESPN.
Oh.
ESPN. There's a couple of summer games that Jared and Bryce will be in.
Okay.
Otherwise, you
they play them all in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
There's a Vegas summer league and an Orlando summer. There's 2 summer leagues.
Oh.
So teams, not every team plays in both. No, it's been that way for a while.
Do most of the rookies play in the summer league? They play in the rookie league.
They put all the rookies. Almost every team puts their rookies in summer league.
Okay,
as well as under free agents.
So Chuma will probably be in Orlando.
So under the free agents.
Well, not playing, of course.
Oh, right.
UDFAs.
You'll be cheering his friends on.
Yeah.
You'll be UDFAs, rookies that you drafted will play in a couple. And then... like older random G League guys that are like still fighting for a shot.
Seth Curry.
Yeah, like Seth was one of those guys, and now he is a good player for the Trailblazers. Actually, he's a free agent, so a good chance the Lakers sign him. But you're looking at guys who are fighting for chances to play in the league. So if you are a guy like me who loves basketball, The Summer League is awesome because it's a bunch of dudes who are fighting their tails off to make an NBA roster. It's good basketball. It's definitely not NBA basketball. It's not the best level.
It's the closest you get to tryouts in professional sports. Yeah. Right?
What if LeBron sees one of our two guys and is like, I want this guy?
Let me tell you what I understand about the NBA. LeBron gets whatever he wants.
Right.
So if LeBron were to say, I want Jared Harper as the point guard of the Lakers, Jared Harper is the point guard of the Lakers.
Or the backup point guard.
Well, they just traded Lonzo, right? So
I mean, they actually do need a point guard.
I could see LeBron liking Bryce, too.
Maybe Charles gets in LeBron's ear a little bit.
What so I know Mark, about I know LeBron James.
He loves Jared Harper.
Teams with LeBron, sure Charles and LeBron are good friends.
Just roll with it.
Anyway.
Check out LeBron.
Okay.
What we need from both these guys is for them to have good summer leagues. A bad summer league could mean the difference of they're playing on NBA team next year or they're playing, you know, overseas.
In Argentina with Horace Spencer.
Spencer got signed today by an Argentinian team.
It's pretty good.
I saw some guys on the comments on that team's signing to bemoan the fact that Horace only averaged 4 points a game for his career.
They clearly didn't
watch a lot of Horace Spencer basketball. Because what he does do is every other thing that you need to win games.
Yeah.
So I think Horace will play overseas. For as long as he wants to play overseas, he will have a spot.
That's awesome.
We're still waiting on Malik Dunbar. I would be shocked if he's not being paid to play basketball next year.
Or football.
Look, guys, it's getting too late in the day for that. I would be really shocked if a football team actually paid him money to go to camp.
I don't know. He's raw talent. He's big.
You would already know. The draft, NBA, NFL draft was months ago.
He was still playing basketball.
I know.
No,
missed the combine.
It's not too late. They don't have to report for another month.
Yeah. Anyway, I think you'll see Malik. I think you'll see Horace getting paid to play hoops for a few years. And I think that there's a chance you'll see three Auburn players wearing NBA uniforms by this time next year.
Here's a question for you, Crow.
Well, they won't be wearing them. This time next year.
Right.
Of the three guys that we're expecting to see in the NBA next year, who starts a game first?
Chumoki.
Oh, yeah.
Starts a game?
He's probably not playing any NBA basketball until at least beginning of the year.
Oh, he's...
Sure. Until January or February.
I don't know. I think he'll be back before that.
Well, I don't know if the Magic will want him back before that. They might be wanting to lose more games.
Oh, that's true.
They might be happy rushing dude back to make the 8 seed in the
East.
That's true. They might be trying to get that number one pick. I think
Chum will start a game next year. I don't think he'll start a game this year.
I don't think that Jared and Bryce, I think they would be amazing if they started in the NBA next year.
Even for the Suns?
Even for the Suns. Because, number one, you've got to outwork and outplay their draft pick, who was also.
Let me be clear. I'm not saying become a starter. I'm saying start a game.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. With the Suns, you never know. Because the Suns might be in a tank. They might just throw everybody in there.
Could be an injury, too.
Yeah. But I still think you're looking at Chumoki.
Chuma, and then Jared, and then Bryce, I'd say.
Yeah, kind of just because of the way that the rosters are set up. Right. I think Jared has a better chance to move right in on that roster.
Right, if he's the backup point guard.
They don't have a point guard on the roster, guys. I mean, they're free agents. And that's why they got five guards.
Who did they sign?
They drafted, let's look that up, Chief. Keep talking. Talk amongst yourselves.
So, Chief, who do you think, look forward a year.
Okay.
If an Auburn player is drafted in the 2020 NBA draft, who is it?
Shreve Cooper.
Wait, he's not playing next year.
Well, he might be in the draft. Anyway, no.
He can't go in the draft.
I thought next year.
That's the next year.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
Is anybody on the roster now?
Austin Wiley.
I was going to say, as
Austin,
much as we
maybe,
not seen Austin hit his potential yet.
Yeah, it depends on how his year goes.
At any point, he could be.
I mean, he didn't go this year because he wasn't going to get drafted. Right. So he's going to have a good year to get drafted. I don't know. There's always.
Because I don't think.
There's always Samir.
I don't know if he's. He's kind of one of those in between guys. Yeah, he's not really big enough.
Yeah.
To play his game in the NBA, but it works great in college.
That's true.
Cameron Johnson from North Carolina, the wing shooter, is who they drafted in the first round of the Suns, which is weird because they have Devin Booker who plays that exact same position.
they drafted him at 11 when he was supposed to be a late first round, early second round pick. As a senior.
And they again, they don't have a point guard.
The Suns had to draft a.
Wasn't Kobe White still on the board at that point?
They traded
down. Chuma Okeke was still on the board at that point.
Well,
if they need a point guard. Why would they not
took Cam Johnson?
They could have taken Kobe. Yeah, the COBY Kobe.
They also got, I believe, Ty Jerome.
Oh, that's the Virginia guy.
That makes sense. What a loser. Anyway.
Yeah, they drafted Ty Jerome, a guy who double dribbled in the Final Four.
Yeah, sure did.
So I've got something.
But he plays guard as well. So you're looking at they drafted two guards and they signed three guards in undrafted free agency. So Jared has a shot, but he has to beat out two guys.
He's better than Ty Jerome.
I think he's better than Ty Jerome too. But he doesn't play the same position as Cam Johnson. So Cam Johnson's not going for the point guard spot. Unless Phoenix is saying they're going to move Devin Booker and play the one, which is a terrible idea because you need him catching
shooting. You got Jared Harper signed to a contract.
For summer league contract. But again, one of the things I was going to say about this is that both these dudes have the opportunity to ball in summer league. And then their contracts are up at the end of summer league, which allows them to then sign. Yeah, they can sign with another team. So if they play really, really well, if Jared just balls out and he doesn't want to be in Phoenix anymore, but the Lakers come and say, hey,
it's nice little retirement
for the Lakers. Great. He can sign with the Lakers. He can sign with another team. The Magic.
Sounds like the Phoenix is the best situation.
Phoenix is probably the best situation in the league for Jared.
Which makes me think that's why he signed.
He's not a dummy.
This is a tryout for the point guard spot, basically.
Right. I think they probably told him, we're going to draft a guy, but we'll sign you to this, and the job's yours if you can win it.
There have been stories in the past where players have this. I don't believe this is what happened with these two guys. Where players have put out false information to teams that might draft them, hoping they don't draft them. So they can be undrafted free agents and sign with whoever they want.
That's the thing I was thinking. It's possible that Jared Harper ends up making more money than Ty Jerome. And
for sure is their point. Because there's no slot for Jared. So Jared can sign a contract for whatever he wants, whereas Ty Jerome has to sign a contract for what the slotted pick.
Right.
Whatever he was in the second round.
Very strange situation.
It's to keep... The reason it's the way it is to keep teams from signing their first-round draft pick to some unbelievable amount of money.
Right.
All the NBA salary rules exist to protect the owners from being idiots. Because owners have been idiots so many times in the past.
Excuse me. Governors.
They call them governors?
I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I thought they were going to call them shareholders or primary shareholders.
They should just be called franchisees, which is what they are. But whatever.
They're the primary
shareholders. They own the teams. They don't own the players. I get what they're trying to say, but whatever. Yeah.
And nowadays, it's very few teams that are primarily owned by one dude.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of dudes.
So they might as well just say part of the ownership.
Gene Buss owns the team? Yeah. I'm sure there's other women.
Like Cubes. Owns the Mavs, and he owns the Mavs, period.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Michael Jordan doesn't own the Hornets. Him and, 30 people own the Hornets.
Is he the majority shareholder?
He's one of the... I don't even know if he's the majority shareholder. He's just a shareholder in the Hornets.
Probably not, because he's not that rich.
He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Which is...
The brand makes him the most money.
So we were talking about undrafted free agents.
Oh, yeah.
I got
one
thing I want to look at real quick.
Oh, just Greg scored two runs. Oh,
I'm done with this.
No, so I just wanted to see... What kind of guys have made NBA careers out of being an undrafted free agent?
Sure.
Marquise Daniels.
Marquise Daniels is actually one of them.
10-year vet.
Yeah. Auburn's own. So here's a top 10 list. I think it got published maybe last year, December 2017. You know most of these guys.
Sure.
J.J. Barea, number 10. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin.
Number 8, Wesley Matthews, the Trailblazers.
Ugh, Wesley Matthews, the guy the Mavericks paid way too much money for a long time.
Number 7, Rajah Bell.
Yeah, Rajah Bell.
Number 6, Jose Calderon.
Yeah. So Jose Calderon shouldn't count because he played...
Is he an international guy?
He played in Europe for a billion years and then decided to come over and try his hand at the NBA.
Number 5, Udonis Haslem.
Udonis, that's a big one.
That dude played for the Heat forever.
He's a multiple NBA champion. He's going to have a statue built by the Heat, right? Yeah. Is that what I mean? Like, he's better than Marquise, I would say. Just
number four
for Avery.
Crow's favorite, Avery Johnson.
Oh, great player, not a great coach.
Number three, Brad Miller.
Ah,
okay.
Number two, Bruce Bowen. And number one,
man, I hated Bruce Bowen as a Mavericks fan.
Absolutely. Number one, Ben Wallace.
Oh, Ben Wallace undrafted. Was undrafted. Wow. So did any of those guys start their rookie year? It probably doesn't.
That I couldn't tell you.
Jose Calderon might have.
Well, right. So yeah, that.
So, but anyway, that just kind of goes to show you. I mean, you're not going to be LeBron being undrafted.
Wow.
But you can have a very solid NBA career,
NBA champion,
an All Star, be NBA champion, like
Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
This doesn't really limit their upside. It just puts them a little bit behind the eight ball as far as where they're starting at.
Yeah, because teams are going to give the guys they drafted a lot more shots. All right, so let's take a break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And now it's time for listener questions.
Oh.
We put it out a little bit late, the College of Mag account. We have two questions that we're going to ask. That we're going to answer. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dr. McLaughlin, Will McLaughlin from the firm, the McLaughlin Group, asked, now that the season is officially over, assess all sports, and where would this year rank all-time history?
It's an essay question.
You know what? Will, to be 100% honest, this is what next week's episode is going to be about. So stay tuned to the Orange Tree Podcast. Next week, we're going to do season in review and where does this season rank all-time in Auburn history. Ryan actually has an algorithm that can shoot out where this season ranks.
I counted. Do you want me to tease it?
Is it an algorithm or is it just a
spreadsheet?
It's a point system.
Okay.
Yeah.
I asked you, and I don't know if you answered.
It's a series of numbers.
I don't know if you answered this. Do you figure drafted players into your point system?
I thought about it, but I did not.
Oh, you should.
No, because there's not a... The NBA draft only has two rounds.
That's true, but it's
hard to keep it standard.
It still seems like a big deal. When you get
it is a big deal, but there's 90 guys on the football roster.
You have to wait the NBA player getting drafted higher than
that. What I was afraid of when doing that is... Auburn has
saying
NFL
that you're lazy
players,
and you don't want to do it.
Pretty much. No, Auburn has NFL, but players go to the NFL draft every year.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't really have a great way to not just
you'd have to figure
have
out,
that extremely way over.
You'd have to figure out how to weight it and or only count the top three rounds or something like that.
And like so, if an Auburn player gets an international cap at women's soccer, that's worth 100 points.
Right.
But it's difficult to weight as to what year it would happen because, all right, anyway. That's happening next week. We're going
to
talk about where does this
season
rank.
We'll get to you, Will.
Other question from Tyler Doyle, at Tyler E. Doyle on Twitter.
Hmm.
Which team does the best next season? Football, basketball, or baseball?
Baseball.
That's tough because...
Baseball.
Your instinct was to say basketball because we were just at the Final Four, but with losing the kind of guys we're losing...
Right.
That's a tough answer. I think the basketball program is probably in the best place.
Yeah, no, if we make the tournament this year, it's a successful year. That's what I say in basketball.
That's kind of now the goal every year at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like making the Final Four every year is an unrealistic.
We make the tournament 3 years in a row?
That's huge.
Good gracious.
Three straight NCAA tournaments would be unbelievable. I still think basketball...
We can be good again.
You've got Javon McCormick coming back. We've got Austin Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Wiley is an NBA player. Period.
If he can be healthy for us.
Yeah. If he can be consistent.
If he's not a healthy
Austin Wiley.
He's shaped like an NBA player.
Yeah. If you have a healthy Austin Wiley for a full, even just a full SEC campaign.
He has it within himself to be an NBA player.
He's got another year of offseason conditioning. Between his first year and his second year at Auburn, he doubled in size from a strength standpoint. If that continues, he's going to look like Shaquille O'Neal.
Got a little more maturity on him. If he could maybe excise Horace Spencer season
three and four or two and three's hands.
Okay.
From his hands, that'd be great.
Yeah, you want better hands than Horse had.
Yeah,
of course.
Horse was okay this year.
Horse had trampoline hands.
If Austin, if we could just see him go in with the energy and the toughness that Horse had last year. Oh.
Or just Austin and just Duke.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was similar. Oh, J.B. Smooth taking off his
pants. Horace Spencer's hands and Gyasi Zardes's feet. Very similar in a lot of ways. That's a U.S. soccer reference.
I believe that's pronounced Jesse.
Is it Jesse Zardes? It's
Jesse
Gyasi is what I like to say, because it's spelled Gyasi.
Yeah. I think it is Gyasi, but it's just
Jesse.
They just go Gyasi Zardes.
Anyway,
Jesse
he's got Zardes. Stone feet when it comes to...
He's not a great player. Touch. But
he's a great player when it comes to speed and being in the right place.
And just accidentally deflecting the ball off his face.
This guy is... His work rate is through the roof in terms of soccer advanced stats. And he is constantly in the right place.
Somehow,
constantly
part of FIFA's story mode that they had for a few years. Somehow, as if he were the best America had to offer to put on there.
From a work rate standpoint, he might be like wow. He literally is like through American. The roof.
Yeah, to be a hard worker.
But just he's not Ronaldo.
So are we totally discounting?
We don't have great strikers.
Having a chance to have
no.
So what does that mean in football? Because they're so different in terms of like. Is making a New Year's Day bowl in football.
What is that equivalent to? Is that,
yeah. It depends on what New Year's Day bowl we're talking about here.
So if Auburn's in the Cotton Bowl next year.
For the music, wasn't the Music City Bowl a New Year's Day bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a good bowl.
No, that was December 28th.
Auburn's in the
Cotton Bowl. If Auburn's in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Okay, that's a success.
I don't know what the bowls are for the playoff next year, so I'm saying Cotton Bowl just because I like the Cotton Bowl.
Well, the Cotton Bowl's a dump.
Well, they don't.
I believe it's Cotton and Orange next year, but I could be wrong.
Okay, well then never mind. If they're in the Sugar Bowl, as we used to call it,
yeah, the Sugar Bowl.
If they're in the Sugar Bowl, like Pat Dye would say, is that a successful year?
Or beating Bama
without a doubt
is a good sugar substitute.
Well, no, because if you're in the Sugar Bowl, that means you are at worst the third best team in the SEC.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that means there's two SEC teams
in
the playoffs.
I kind of think we need
Alabama.
I kind of think we need to finish at least second in the West.
So,
which is totally doable. That's the thing.
Is a Sugar Bowl berth better than an NCAA tournament first round exit?
Yeah, with the schedule that Auburn's going to have next year.
Yeah, we got a real tough schedule.
Because that means you won at least 9 games, maybe 10.
Now it depends. Did we make it there? Do we make it there by some
hosting a regional? I think Auburn baseball needs to lead. I don't know what's better. Is it winning a regional or hosting a regional?
Winning,
right?
I think it depends on how we make it there in football. If we lose some game by some ridiculous, like,
are you talking about how we made it to Sugar Bowl against Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma?
Yeah. If we like make it there, but we should have done better. Then it's still going to be kind of disappointing.
There will be people if we
but going to be very. We're starting a freshman quarterback.
Yeah, that's the thing. If we should have done better than a Sugar Bowl,
that
means Auburn's a national title contender, favorite. Right.
There will be people unless we win the national championship.
Say
we should have done better.
No, I think I said. I don't think we really want to talk about this now. But 10 wins is basically where we got to be at.
I really think 9 is okay. 10 is impressive.
I don't know, dude. 9 wins?
9 wins and it means you lost to 3 top 10 teams.
I heard, and this was...
yeah, we can't be losing to Arkansas
that's the thing.
Mississippi State or Ole Miss or...
Unless that means you're beating Alabama and Georgia.
I was listening to another podcast.
How dare you?
Our friends Van Allen and John's podcast.
Yeah, they're all right.
Who?
Wishbone. And Marcelo was on,
And
he told a story that one of the Auburn coaches on the recruiting trails was asked point blank by a student athlete, how many wins does Auburn need to have next year for Gus Malzahn to keep his job? Or to have a safe job or whatever. And the coach said, same as every year. He has to win 2 games. And the player's like, what? And he goes, he has to win 2 games. Georgia and Alabama. That's it. And he will be secure.
That's an odd thing.
The guy said.
Well, we can go ahead and scratch
it. Doesn't matter.
He's only done that twice.
And those are the years he's secure. Is that he does that? He got an extension the last time he did it. As a matter of fact.
Well, that guy got fired.
Right. So
He's done it two more times than anybody else in the country. Doing it twice in the same year.
So what I think the thing is, it's not 10 wins. It's what 10 wins?
I don't know. Bama beat Georgia and beat themselves in the same year.
Oh, you got me there.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, that's the thing. It's not number of wins to me with Gus and success. It's what wins. It's which wins. Losing to Arkansas stinks, and that would be awful, and I'd be mad. But if you lose to Arkansas, you beat Alabama, Georgia, and LSU, no one's that mad.
And I think they're mad if we don't make it to Atlanta based on that Arkansas loss, though.
Maybe.
But usually if you beat those other two, you're probably in Atlanta.
It's going to be dumb basing a head coach's job off of a freshman quarterback's development.
And what I really think is
going to be the case, if Auburn doesn't look like it has answers in Joey Gatewood and Bo Nix next year, even as freshmen, Gus doesn't have a chance. At least one of the two of them looks
really good
next year, regardless. You could get to 9-3 and be totally fine if one of them looks in control of the offense.
If Joey Gatewood looks really good next year, it pretty much knocks out all those Gus can't develop a quarterback.
Because he's had him all year.
If he doesn't, but Bo does, it does not eliminate those. Because Bo has had his father as a quarterback coach.
If anybody bases whether or not a freshman quarterback can walk into the schedule that's about to happen to Auburn.
Oh, it's
and not go brutal. Undefeated. It's well, can't do it. Gus can't do it. Those people. No, are
we just
dumb.
Need to lose to LSU and we'll be fine.
Well, if you want to hear that argument, tune into any ESPN radio, whatever you want to have any of those callers on there, and you will hear that within an hour.
Here's a scenario: what if we lose to both Georgia and Bama, but we beat LSU and Baton Rouge.
Woof.
And win every other game.
Happened since I was four.
And win every other game.
It was in preschool.
We're probably not going to Atlanta in that scenario, but
we're probably going to New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah.
Everybody finished third in the SEC. We
haven't done something. I mean, yeah, you were alive.
I was just one, but I have one.
I did not watch that game.
I did.
I'd like Gus to light a cigar if he does it.
I'll light a cigar. I hate cigars. I light one.
Well, guys, we didn't get a chance to talk about President Stephen Leith.
Cue the music, Crow. Come on.
So, but let's do it for a little bit. We've already been going 55 minutes, but
we can't hold this from the people.
So, apparently, we had a Friday news dump. Not just a Friday news dump.
Friday at like 10 p.m.
Live from Skybar.
It was the most bizarre. I was like, wait, what? A buddy of mine. Fellow Fiji, Alan McNew, sent me a text. He sent me a Huntsville news station talking about him leaving. And I was like, what?
And then all of a sudden, I see Eagle Eye News was the first one that I saw on the story that Auburn president Stephen Leith and Auburn were parting ways. And I was very confused because I thought, wait a minute, this is only 2 years in. There's got to be more to this story. But I think actually, shout out to Marcello again. He's the only one who has said what's true is that only the sports reporters in this state have reported on this story at all. None of the education reporters. Yeah. You haven't seen anything from AL.com, Montgomery Advertiser, talking about...
All the news stations seem to have this
a
story.
A two-year tenure for a university president with a five-year contract is not normal.
No, not at all.
And he was let go... And everyone seems to be fine.
I was tipped off in April that his days were numbered.
Well, I think almost everyone knew the relationship wasn't working.
Well, he had no friends.
Right.
And then the whole thing happened
with the football facility,
which is one of the more bizarre things I've ever seen.
Those soft serve ice cream in that football facility.
But
so
when
good.
It happened, I was like, he's
right. And just in case you don't know, basically the football facility thing a couple weeks ago the football facility question that we're talking about was Leith said there is not going to
it's never going to happen is basically what he said,
and the next week at the board of trustees meeting they said
it's definitely going to happen. Well, it
and then he said, oh, we should probably make a committee.
He tried to like. This is the thing he's done throughout his tenure. When things get sideways, then he tries to act like he's in control.
Hasn't been on the right side of most of the controversy around Auburn in the last few years.
Anything,
and he almost always flips course. It's clear.
Look, this is a guy. This is a guy we never should have hired. You should have seen. I've never seen.
the Auburn community quite so united over a subject as when this
faculty
happened.
And
oh yeah,
and fans.
Yeah,
and
the faculty just, were like, being a little cagey, but they were
the
all,
academic and the athletic side kind of against it.
Yeah, well, when you spend as much money as he did renovating the president's mansion and then cut department salary or department budgets, that's not going to earn you a lot.
Our good friend Dr. John Carvalho.
He was very diplomatic about it.
And has a great thread if you really want to read. There was a lot of things that were outside of President Leith's control in terms of PR stuff coming into the job that he couldn't have helped, but kind of started.
You mean
him
like
off.
Him using a Iowa State
right.
Plane?
Right. Didn't happen here, but happened there. And we didn't. And the way that the search kind of went on in secret. And so all of a sudden, when he was hired, the bad things or the negative press from his last job became public, and there was no one to answer for it because the search was done.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how Auburn does a lot of things.
I think you kind of knew that he had no one in his corner when this news started trickling out, and the best thing you heard about him was people saying, I'm not going to comment.
There were people who, on the staff side that I know of, that liked him because he was trying to eliminate the silos that higher education seems to have, where departments just don't work with one another, right. And that's an issue. But I think the way he went about it, they didn't like
that. I know one person that likes him. He really likes him because he's just been in the same room with him a few times. He doesn't necessarily work for him.
Right.
And he was, this guy was pretty upset with how people were treating him.
Sure. But I can imagine that.
But the thing is the guy never should have been hired in the first place. And he was the wrong fit.
He cared a lot about.
If you want to cue that serial music back up again, I think he was hired because I think, I believe he was hired because they thought he was the guy that would keep it down home, cause kind of thing.
Oh,
his history of corruption led them to believe that perhaps he was the guy for the job.
Yeah.
Now. I don't know if that's true, but it does seem very Auburn.
No.
Jabba, if you will, for that kind of hire to be made. But now we have President Jay Googe back in an interim role.
The Googe is loose.
The name I've heard come up, and I think everyone here has probably heard it, because friend of the pod,
Josh
Black is a big proponent of this guy. Bill Hargrave, who's the provost currently, he's... a name that I've heard from several different people. Yeah. Now,
he was a favorite for the Tennessee job.
Right. Point, right. Scuttlebutt a few weeks ago was that he was going to be president at Tennessee. So I wonder if maybe this move was made to perhaps persuade
him in house
to not go so that we could hire. But who knows?
Guys,
I think Auburn's better off. I do hesitate to dance on the grave of someone who's lost their job.
Sure.
But I just don't think he was ever the right guy. And he rubbed everyone the wrong way. The handling, if anybody deserved it, it was him for the way he handled the Bruce Pearl situation, in my opinion.
I would like to see Alan Green get a chance to run the athletic department at this point.
Yeah.
I don't really think he had that opportunity.
I think he was running it. I think he was...
Running the day-to-day operations, but he was never the face of the athletic department. Right. The way Jay Jacobs was.
True.
Whenever there was a...
He's barely settled into the job, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right. Guys, that's going to do it for
us. No game tonight. I guess we went a little over.
Yeah, we're not distracted.
Sorry we ruined your game, bro.
No game tonight. Yeah, I'll bring it. I'll bring the heat next week.
What do we got next week?
I'll
figure it out. State of the program.
State of the program.
State of the program coming up next week.
I thought we were going to do what-ifs.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do
What
Ifs.
2 weeks? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, no, stay program 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Next week is SB Nation's running a thing out called What If, and we tackle the biggest what ifs in sports. Like, what if Michael Dyer was down? What if, those are not, that's an example of one.
What if I had not down. Been terrible at chemistry and become a pharmacist?
Yeah. What if all of a sudden, Gus Malzahn play Sean White against Georgia?
Oh, man.
All kinds of
what if he doesn't make an enemy of Mitch Mustang?
That is a good one.
We're going to talk about some
of
those.
I didn't think he made an enemy.
And some of the biggest ones next week on the Orange and True podcast.
And you'll hear all about my fish.
And we'll hear more about Chiefs fish. Orange and True podcast is a production of collegeandmagnolia.com. and Chris Porter's Afro. We are produced by me, Son of Crow, and executive producer Jack Condon. And you can find us and more at the wonderful College of Magnolia.com. Oh, also, nice. ClassicMalik.com.
Dot net.
Dot net.
Dot com works too.